Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, and welcome back again to Autism Scouting Radio. My name, again, is John Krejcia, and I'll be your host today. Autism Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program, which is offered to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about both Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program, after the broadcast, please go ahead and visit www.autismempowerment.org. There you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, all types of different social media is offered there. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, we have all the information there as well. First of all, I really want to thank our good friend of Autism and Scouting, Sean Williams, who was on the show yesterday. If you didn't hear the show yesterday, I really strongly encourage you to go back and listen to the interview to see the amazing things that he's doing with a very unique venturing crew in St. Charles, Illinois. Crew 88 is a special needs crew that has a focus on life skills, and I know Tony, our guest today, and others around the nation that are looking to see what he's doing and what he's going to be bringing to the scouting community. After the show yesterday, Sean and I talked a bit, and he's really commended him on for being a true visionary in the scouting world, and he's doing just such an amazing job. Also, just a quick reminder that you can now listen to both the Autism and Scouting radio podcast and radio Autism and Empowerment radio shows, both at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. So if you missed yesterday's shows or any of the other shows, you can go there and get them all. Next week, a little programming note, we have three more amazing shows lined up. On Tuesday, we're going to be giving out tips on working with scouts when it comes to fundraising. It's that time of year. You have popcorn sales coming up. You have resales for the Boy Scouts. Again, Girl Scouts do the cookie sales. Other scouting units do candy bars and different types of things. We want to be able to empower your scouts and give them tools to be able to go out and be the best scout they can be and really get the whole part of the scouting program. And that's obviously part of its fundraising. On Wednesday, you'll definitely not want to miss that show because we're talking to Karen Mansfield with Troop 5280. Karen is a scoutmaster, and she has a very unique troop that she actually designed, developed, and mentored for the first 5 years. It's a special needs troop that focuses on teaching scouts basic scouting skills and then transitioning the boys into typically developing units. Amazing program. I talked to Karen again. She has some amazing, it's an amazing story, and she's actually going to be coming out a couple times throughout the month of September and October talking about various topics as well. And let's see, what else do we have? And then on Friday, we have really kind of a unique thing. It's our first panel discussion. We have three members from Special Needs Troop 2 out of Missouri. They're a troop, again, that's been around a long time working with special needs kids. We're going to have three members of their staff, their scoutmaster, their committee chair, and their advancement chair. And we're going to do a roundtable kind of discussion, first time we've done that, so that's kind of exciting. But today, we're going to get to our return guest, Tony May. Tony is the BSA National Special Needs Chair when working with children with special needs. And today we're going to take a sneak peek behind the curtain and take a look at the inner workings of the committee that's so near and dear to all of us. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get Tony on the air. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you, John. It's good to be back.
I think this is a kind of a cool topic to talk about, because I think a lot of people don't even know that there are special needs committees within their own districts, let alone probably on a national basis. So what is the actual official name of the committee that you chair?
Okay. It's called Scouting with Special Needs / Disabilities Committee. It's also known as a task force in the official terminology, although it's really more of a committee because it has such a broad focus.
Different
the terminology is a task force is intended to basically have a single task, and it's short-lived, focuses on getting that task done and moves on. Clearly, as we go on to the discussion today, you'll see we're a little bit more than just a task force.
How many people are on the committee or task force?
Okay. Well, at this point, we have 8 individuals, and we actually have 3 more that we're looking into bringing onto the committee. I think I'll anticipate where I think you may be going next. We do try to have representation from each of the 4 regions that BSA has across the country. At this point, we have 2 out of the Northeast. We have 4 from the Central Region, 1 from the South, and 1 from the West.
Okay, so you're trying to get a broad kind of spectrum of different areas, different perspectives of different people from different backgrounds.
Right. And
I know the Central...
Go ahead.
No. I know in the central area, especially in the Illinois area, there's a huge contingent of special needs units. So that kind of makes sense that a lot of the folks came out of that area.
Right. We were trying to draw on the existing expertise across the country, and you're right. The information that we've been picking up, for example, identifying how many special needs units do we have in the Boy Scouts or in the program, as opposed to how many youth who have disabilities?
Right.
Really, the only demographic that we can seriously get our arms around is the number of units that are special needs units.
How many units are that?
Oh, gosh. I think it's something on the range of about 400. It's fairly, it's a small number, and, you know, that equates to, say, about 4,000 youth in the program, because most of those units are not particularly large. But then the other side of the equation is how many youth are in the program overall who do have special needs. And I think I might have mentioned that in a previous interview. That is a number we can't really get a good handle on yet. The trick is most often those youth who have special needs don't get the special needs or disabilities designation until very close to the point where they're going to age out of a program, because they want to be treated like just a normal scout. It's the one opportunity they have to do that. You know, they may be in special education, but they can be in a regular Boy Scout troop, for example.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Give them kind of, because a lot of times kids with special needs kind of thrive a lot of times when they're in with typical developing units, and they have peers that they can mentor and kind of look towards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally understand. So what areas? Can you give us an overview of what kind of topics the committee works on?
Okay. So looking at the summary of what we accomplished in the last year, this actual committee really officially got going just a little over a year ago. Let me preface my remarks with the fact that there were actually 2 previous committees that I'm aware of. One of them was in place for, 2 to 3 years, back around, 2004 to 2007. And they're the ones, that committee's primary and very signature product was the Scouting with Youth with Disabilities manual. Subsequent to that, a task force was established in 2008, but it was disestablished in early 2010. Its primary accomplishment was getting its arms around, well, what are the topics that we need to be addressing relative to special needs across the country? The current committee has taken that list of tasks to heart, and we've made progress on a number of those tasks. We established a rather clear vision of where we want to be going here. To paraphrase it, there are a number of people who have in the special needs community that are not being served by Scouting, and our vision is that they will be served by units in the program who have knowledgeable and understandable leaders. This will require having support and knowledge at the council and district level. It will involve an interest in recruiting those youth. And the key point, or rather the foundation for all this, is having visible, available documents, materials, training materials available to all of those adult leaders. And to that end, just over the last year, I think probably our landmark accomplishment was getting the BSA rules and regulations or bylaws language addressing participation of individuals who have special needs updated so that now reflects more evenly all of those who have special needs in a broader sense, and very clearly points out with the current program offerings how they can participate and advance. Given that update, we've also been able to update the Guide to Working with Scouts with Disabilities publication. That is expected to be republished this fall. And it will also be placed in a more visible location on scouting.org and on my website, obviously. Speaking of my website, another accomplishment that the committee really pushed forward, and we finally hit pay dirt last January, that my website is now identified in the best practices portal on scouting.org as a best practices website. Before that, it was more word of mouth.
Just for people to let you know, because the website that we're talking about is the Working with Scouts with Disabilities website, or www.sd.org, right?
www.swd.org.
Right. Just so people know.
Yeah, that's a little challenging, I guess, since it's an acronym.
Oh, no, I just want to make sure people knew about the website, because it's a phenomenal resource and it has some outstanding information, and definitely we point people that there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Most of the additional pieces of or accomplishments that we've made this year have been in the training arena. One of them is still a work in progress. Our end goal is to have an e-learning course on scouting.org, if you will, a special needs scouting 101. We already have the PowerPoint developed. It's been reviewed by the training committees, volunteer development team. That one will shortly be placed on my website again as a resource, and ultimately We hope to have that available through scouting.org so that leaders can access it officially that way. Some of the other courses, I think I may have mentioned these before. One of them was an advancement for scouts with special needs, which we prepared for the advancement committee at National. We've subsequently repackaged that and included it in the continuing education curriculum for the College of Commissioner Sciences. It's a separate class for them. That course was basically, I guess that's something we'll be talking about in a future call, though, John.
Oh, absolutely.
Additionally, we have a Special Needs Scouting 101 course in the Commissioner College curriculum at the bachelor's level. And we have two additional continuing education courses in that curriculum, one for ADD and one for Autism Spectrum Disorder.
Yay!
Yeah, I'll put a plug in for John. John actually made some very positive comments to improve that class. So he's on the creator's line as well.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, anything to help. It boils down to helping the scouts. I mean, that's what we're all here for. And
that's true. And we want to make sure we say it in the right context so that they get the best of the program.
Well, thank you very much. So you guys it sounds like a ton of stuff going on. How does that translate to helping down to both the council level and to the district level, and then ultimately down to the unit level, where you know the individuals will be you know working with scouts individually?
Well, again, going back to that, you know, the point of our vision. For leaders at any of those levels to perform in a knowledgeable and understanding manner, they need to have that knowledge and understanding from the training materials that we're putting together. They also need to have clear access and visibility of the BSA's policies and the documents that have been put out by BSA. I put a plug in here for the World Organization of Scouting Movement. They also have a document that's out there. One other of the accomplishments I didn't mention was that we have updated the Special Needs Scouting fact sheet that will be on the National website, and we've included in it hyperlinks to all of the current documents that are available. So we're proposing that fact sheet be put in a very visible location, easy to find, on scouting.org, so that all one needs to know is search for a Special Needs Scouting fact sheet, and that in turn will give them access to those materials that I've been mentioning. That is a work in progress. I guess
right.
That's sort of something everything we're doing, we may have created something, but we're continuing to refine these as we go along.
Now, that's a lot of work. How does your committee, like, function? It's kind of like the nuts and bolts. I mean, how often do you meet? How often do you physically get together and meet? The nuts and bolts of that, how does that all work?
Okay, well, as a rule, we have a standing teleconference on a monthly basis, and there's an agenda prepared in advance, following up on actions from the previous call, introducing new issues, and discussing all of the above, as well as potential future issues and how are we going to address those. In between those calls, we do have a number of emails and even one-on-one phone calls back and forth discussing those issues. And as a rule, and what we're establishing is once a year face-to-face meeting where we spend a day and a half, 2 days, basically going over all of the material that we've done in the past year and setting the tone for the coming year. We just had that meeting at the end of July up in Chicago, and it was a very productive session. And that basically set the tone for what we're going to focus on in the coming year.
Now, you had a call yesterday, too, right? Your monthly call?
Yes, we did.
Anything you can, any tidbits that you can share to our listeners?
Well, actually, I have to admit, the call was truncated because half of the members were otherwise engaged either in observances of 9/11 or school or travel, and we're rescheduling that call for next Tuesday.
Okay.
This is the first.
We'll definitely come back and try to pick your brain and see what happens there. How often do you have to go to, actually, do you ever have to physically go back to the national and meet with the national folks?
Yes. The national committees, as a rule, they come together in person in October in Dallas, they come together in February, also in Dallas, and the third potential is the national annual meeting, which is usually at the end of May. Not the entire committee doesn't necessarily go to any or all of those. That's why we've established a separate schedule for ourselves, so we have the undivided attention of the committee. When the committees meet either in October or February or even in May, I guarantee you there's a very challenging situation that develops because there are about, when I looked at one for October, there are about 25 to 30 separate committees that are scheduled, and probably the longest any one of them may have is 2 hours. And invariably, if you are like me, you've got multiple interests, and Murphy tends to be alive and well. I've had at least two occasions where I've had two meetings coincide, which means I've got to find a way to split my time between the two of them, and that's not particularly productive.
Right.
So, usually at least one of us will go to those sessions, and at the primarily the program impact team is the one that we report to. And we will provide a summary of, okay, what have we done since the last meeting and where are we going, and perhaps ask for direction as, what should we pursue, or, better yet, can we get their approval and to move some things forward or to actually get them implemented?
And now, that must be an arduous path to get something actually passed through any large organization, but then when you take something like the Boy Scouts, that must be really challenging.
Bureaucracies are pretty much alike regardless of whether they're in the public or the private or the volunteer sector. From my experience over the years, you work within the system and you find, if you will, the key people who can make things happen, and you work with them and things happen. Not necessarily fast. I used to work for the federal government, and I used to refer to getting certain things implemented as they move forward with glacial rapidity. Again, that's not just the federal government. That happens everywhere else. The Boy Scout bureaucracy actually has improved from what I've heard and seen, where in the past it really got down to the point where any proposal had to be essentially reviewed by virtually everybody in the various committee structures at the national level. At least that's what it sounded like. And that's one of the reasons it took forever to get something moving. They have streamlined things where they have certain organizations with similar goals and vision that work together. And they're the ones that will review a specific action. That's where, like I said, the program impact group was the one that my committee comes up through. And I mean, a good example was the updating of the bylaws. That took us approximately 6 months from the point where we proposed the rewording, got that into the system, got it reviewed by the legal folks, worked out the kinks, got it presented to the National Executive Board and adopted. I mean, that was an instance where we had to go all the way to the top. Some of the other items, such as like the e-learning piece, that it will need to have, you know, legal consistency, make sure that we're following all the program guidance and rules, but that doesn't necessarily need executive board approval.
Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah.
6 months to get something approved in the corporate world is amazing in and of itself. So.
Yeah, well, hey, if you work on it and you work with people, you can make things happen. Funny
right,
thing,
yeah.
That's the same thing, same theme of what we're trying to do in the community of those with special needs.
Well, I think that's so key because, I mean, most people, especially, I mean, all the volunteers seem to be for the boys, but, you know, especially those of us that really have the passion to work with the special needs kids, it's really a calling in some ways, and to be driven more than just, you know, that. So, I mean, it's not about, you know, our egos or anything. It's about, basically, it comes down to helping the kids and making sure that they're successful.
Right.
Right. And the work that you've been doing for, what, almost 30 years plus in scouting is just amazing. And it's someone, you're someone I definitely look up to and feel is that, you know, your model of how you've really reached out to and support the special needs community is just amazing. And I totally commend you for all of your hard work and everything that you definitely do at the national level. So.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead. We have about 2 minutes left, and I'm going to give you the last 2 minutes just to kind of finish up with everything that you have. So thank you,
okay.
Tony, and you got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, you know what? I know there's one thought I think is on your mind about, you know, this is a national committee, but what's its impact on local councils, or, you know, what leeway do they have?
Absolutely.
Well, the bottom line in the philosophy from National is that National exists to support the councils, as the councils support the districts, as the districts support the units, as the units support the youth. And to that end, again, going back to getting that information out to the councils and districts in a more visible and accessible mode, that makes all the sense in the world. In terms of, if you will, what are the prerogatives of the local councils? Well, there's some very key ones. The approval of the designation of a youth as having a disability, which is pivotal to any to staying in the program beyond the traditional ages and to advancing. That approval is at the council level, no higher.
So the takeaway is. You know, get involved at your local level. You know, you're definitely your unit level, your district level, and your council level. And,
exactly.
And that's where the power is going to ultimately come from.
Right, because if the council is ignorant of special needs scouting, or they haven't established an individual or a committee at the council level, that's probably one of the first places to start. That's something that's on our radar, but we haven't gotten to it yet. But we're working that.
Well, Tony,
and
thank you. We got about 10 seconds. This time, next time we have you on, we'll actually have more time. So thank you again so much, Tony, for everything that you do, and we'll definitely be talking to you again.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Goodbye.
Bye.